Welcome. You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast, the show that cuts through the fog of war and updates you about the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
Hello, I'm Marina Yevshan, your host of the Russia-Ukraine War Report Podcast, and today is May the 1st, 2024. It has been 3,747 days since Russia started covert military operations in Crimea, 10 years and 71 days since the start of the Russia-Ukraine war, and 2 years and 68 days since Russia expanded its war of aggression. Today's podcast looks at events that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday morning. During the podcast, you will find the Russia-Ukraine war map helpful to visualize the areas discussed. A link is in the podcast description. There are map updates today. The Russia-Ukraine War Report is compiled by our team from around the world. Today's report includes information from our direct contacts and journalists in Ukraine, the Russian Ministry of Defense, the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine Morning Reports, Operational Commands North, South and East of Ukraine, Open Source Intelligence, our in-house team of analysts and geospatial experts, and pro-Ukrainian and pro-Russian male bloggers and social media channels with a track record of trying to be accurate. We have one mission, the truth, because the truth matters. Here is my daily assessment. 1. There is an elevated risk of large-scale drone and missile attacks against Ukrainian civilians and civilian infrastructure from May the 1st to May the 10th due to Orthodox Easter, the inauguration of Russian autocrat Vladimir Putin, and the May the 9th Victory Day celebrations in Russia. 2. Russian forces continue to exploit the delays in significant military aid from the US, the Czech Republic-led ammunition initiative, Belgium, the European Union, and the United Kingdom, carrying out another 96 attacks on Tuesday. 3. We maintain that enough aid to have a material impact on stabilizing Ukrainian ground and air defenses will be in the theater of war within 2 to 4 weeks. 4. Ukrainian forces continue to have insufficient ammunition resources, particularly short-range air defense systems, which enable the holding of existing defensive lines and protect the civilian population. 5. The world is caught in the mutually assured destruction and stability paradox, with renewed nuclear threats by Kremlin leadership and Polish leadership openly discussing forward deploying United States nuclear weapons. 6. In our assessment, Russian forces achieving their operational goal of capturing Chasiv Yar by May the 9th is unlikely, but efforts to capture the strategically important settlement, regardless of cost, will continue. 7. We maintain that Russia is setting conditions for a wider attack in the direction of Vuhledar. 8. Russia's trampling of international humanitarian law has been accelerating since March the 22nd. In our assessment, the willful ignoring of blatant Russian war crimes by international watchdogs will continue to encourage escalation. 9. The disjointed response to Russian aggression by Ukraine's allies continues to embolden Moscow, leading to the most serious airspace violation of a NATO country since Russia expanded its war of aggression on February 24, 2022. Inaction by the United States and the excessively risk-averse rules of engagement forced on the NATO alliance are creating an environment ripe for a serious international incident. 10. The attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure have incrementally increased the chance of an intentional nuclear accident at multiple nuclear facilities in Ukraine. And the situation is more serious, especially at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, than what the International Atomic Energy Agency is reporting. Russia targeted civilian objects in Odessa, Kharkiv, Donetsk, Dnipropetrovsk, and Chernihiv oblasts. Russia attacked Odessa with Iskander-M ballistic missiles for the second day in a row, striking civilian infrastructure. The latest attack killed 3 and wounded 3 more. The number of wounded from yesterday's attack on the waterfront targeting Kivalov's estate climbed to 40. It was confirmed that the vice-rector of the International Humanitarian University, Boris Vasilyev, was among the 5 fatalities. Officials clarified that the girl in critical condition is 5, not 4, as reported yesterday, and continues to fight for her life after open-heart surgery. The VKS, that's the Russian Aerospace Forces, struck Kharkiv with 3 UMPB D-30 guided bombs, striking an administrative building, a parking garage, and an apartment building. One person was killed and 10 people wounded, with 4 in hospital. Russia bombed the village of Kolonova in Donetsk Oblast, killing a 71-year-old in his home as he slept. In Novoalexandrivka, a woman was killed in her yard by a Russian artillery strike. The Nikopol Raion in Dnipropetrovsk Oblast was heavily shelled by Russian fire bases located near the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. One person was injured and 7 apartment buildings were damaged. A Russian drone struck a hangar in the Chernihiv Oblast settlement of Novgorod-Siversky, destroying the building and the stored grain. Here is today's action report. Russia launched 96 attacks and has carried out 504 discrete assaults against Ukrainian positions in the last 5 days. This intensity is consistent with previous offensives. Addressing the situation, President of Ukraine Volodymyr Zelensky said, quote, "We need a significant acceleration of supplies to significantly increase the capabilities of our warfighters. The front should not be dominated by Russian aerial bombs and assaults, but by our Ukrainian initiative, our air defense, our artillery, our drones." Unquote. There has been a small but observable decrease in Russian airstrikes in the last 48 hours. The Defense Intelligence Directorate of the Ministry of Defense of the United Kingdom suggested that the April 27th Ukrainian drone strike on Kushovskaya military airfield in Krasnodar Krai may have reduced the number of glide bombs available. Shifting focus for today's action report from the battlefield, the United States news agency Politico reported that Russia was running out of fuel and prices were spiking, attributing their tightening supply to Ukraine's drone strikes on refineries. In our assessment, the situation is more complex. Early in the month, it was estimated that Russia had restored approximately one-third of its lost refining capacity, but was still experiencing a 10% shortfall. Interestingly, an accident in Temple, Texas, illustrates just how complex distillation towers are. On April the 28th, a 159 metric ton distillation tower separated from the trailers hauling it, killing 2 people. There is a picture in our Almost Daily Situation report that shows how large and complex they are. Diesel prices in Russia have increased 10% in the last week, and petrol is at a 6-month high. But there are other factors impacting the internal Russian markets. Widespread flooding has snarled logistics, and in April at least 2 refineries had to go offline due to flooding. Globally, refineries create summer and winter blends, and during those transitions, production is temporarily halted. That process typically happens between March and May and usually coincides with plant maintenance. Also, in Russia, the May holiday season is starting, increasing consumer demand, and Russian farmers are at or past planting season. These factors are tightening supply, combined with the massive needs of the Russian military. In our assessment, there is not enough evidence to declare the spike in prices and tightening supply is strictly due to refinery attacks, but Russia's domestic market is stressed. We would not be surprised to see the 6-month petrol export ban that started in March extended. A closing thought. The April 30th attack on the Russian refinery in Ryazan is not going to help the situation. More about that later in the podcast. Now, let's talk about what happened on the battlefield. This is a good time to open up our war map. There is a link in the podcast description. Ready? Starting in Kharkiv and Luhansk oblasts in the Svatov area of operation, or AO, Russian forces continued their probing attacks, but have not been able to build on the earlier small gains made near Stelmachivka, where the Russian Ministry of Defense, that's Armored, reported Ukraine was on the offensive. Fighting restarted between Krokhmalne and Berestove, with no change in the situation. Russian forces continued their attempts to advance in the direction of Kopanke from Raihorodka and near Nadiya, without success. The General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine, or GSAFU, reported fighting continued in the area of Novosergiivka, with no indication of new Russian advances. Southwest of Svatove, Russian forces attempted to advance in the directions of Makiivka and Grekivka from Novovodyane without success. In the Kremennaya, Russian forces continued their attempts to advance in the direction of Nevska. Russian attempts to advance toward Terny failed. Ukrainian forces advanced 1,000 meters east of Yampolivka, recapturing several defensive positions. Near Kremenna, Russian forces continued their attacks south of Dubrova, with no change in the situation. In the Siversky of Luhansk Oblast, Russian forces continued their attempts to advance on Bilohorivka from the east and southeast, and in the direction of Verkhnyokamensk from Zolotarivka. Russian propagandists are providing very little information about fighting in these regions, and a significant portion of the Russian reserve forces were redeployed to occupied Donetsk Oblast. In our assessment, while activity has increased significantly, they are mostly limited to reconnaissance and reconnaissance in force, probing for weaknesses in Ukrainian defenses. Moving to the Donbas, in northeastern Donetsk Oblast, Russian forces made another attempt to advance near Spirne, suffered losses and returned to their defensive positions. North of occupied Soledar, Russia continued its assault south of Rozdolivka, with no change in the situation. In the Kostyantynivka AO, intense fighting continued. Russian forces advanced 400 meters through a densely forested area north of Ivanivske, reaching the Siversky Donets-Donbas canal. Russian forces continued their attacks on the edges of the Novy micro-district, Chasiv Yar, and within Ivanivske, with no other changes to the line of conflict. Russian forces continued their assaults north of Klishivka and southeast of Andriivka, with the Ukrainian forces holding their defensive positions. In the Toretsk-New York AO, Armod claimed there was fighting in the area of Shumy, near the edge of occupied Horlivka. In the Avdiivka AO of southwestern Donetsk Oblast, Russian forces continued to pressure the Vovcha River bed defensive line. Ukrainian forces have not stabilized their defensive lines, but have, at least temporarily, slowed the ongoing Russian advances. Ukrainian source Deep State reported that Russia had captured the villages of Novokolonovo and Keramik, while Armored and Russian mercenary Molblogovo Gonzo reported fighting continued. Ukrainian forces continued to hold 10-20% of Ocheretene, with Russian forces continuing their attempts to advance toward Arkhangelsk. Russian forces made marginal gains east of Novoalexandrivka, suggesting that the Russian operational goal is to capture the village and advance toward Malinivka and the T-504 highway. We had previously assessed that this was a risky strategy for Russian commanders because it would stretch their ground line of communications and leave the northern flank exposed. Russian armor made it halfway to Sokol from Solovyovo, but was eliminated by artillery, including cluster munitions. The situation continues to be better on the Durna River line south of Berdyche. Russian attacks west of Semenivka and east of Umansk and Yasnobrodivka were unsuccessful. Russian troops restarted their assaults in Netailovo, with the Ukrainian forces holding their defensive positions. Intense fighting continued in the Vuhledar AO. Russian forces continued their attacks south of the refractory factory in Krasnohorivka, but were unable to make any new gains. Fighting also continued east of Georgievka and Paraskovievka. Fighting also continued in the Staromlinivka AO, with mutual fighting reported south of Rozhaine and west of Staromayorske. There was no change in the situation. In the Orikhiv AO of Zaporizhia Oblast, Russian forces advanced into Robotyne for the second time and raised a flag one street over from yesterday's picture report. While there was panic on social media about the loss of the settlement, in our assessment, the entire settlement is a no-man's land with no clear line of conflict. Wogonzo had an unusually grim assessment of the situation despite the appearance of recent advances. Quote, "The remnants of this settlement are subjected to artillery strikes every day, and all approaches, retreats, paths, and roads are mined so densely that no one knows where our mines end and Ukrainian ones begin. In addition, there's simply nowhere to gain a foothold there. No man's land. In the Khersonyo, Russian forces launched two attacks on Ukrainian positions in Krynke, suffered losses and retreated. In Russia, Ukrainian drones struck the Rosneft-Ryazan oil refinery, sparking a large fire that was visible for kilometers. The refinery was attacked on March the 13th, severely damaging one distillation tower. The refinery is one of the largest in Russia, previously capable of processing up to 18.8 metric tons of crude oil a year. Here is my theater-wide update. The Munich, Germany, Prosecutor's Office and the Central Directorate for Combating Extremism and Terrorism took over the investigation of the April the 27th murder of two Ukrainian soldiers by a Russian national. German officials said that political motivation for the crime cannot be ruled out. Poland submitted a formal application for the deployment of NATO-provided nuclear weapons on its soil. Warsaw sees this as a necessity to strengthen the security of the eastern flank of NATO and as a response to Russia forward deploying tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus. The United States has nuclear weapons deployed in several NATO nations, including Belgium, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, and Turkey. Analyst Marcus Johnson has located the Baltic GPS Gemma southwest of St. Petersburg, Russia. Johnson used satellite information, radar interference data, reports of GPS jamming incidents, and videos from drones showing where line-of-sight GPS jamming started to triangulate their position. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin told Congress that the Pentagon is continuing its efforts to secure additional Patriot air defense systems for Ukraine. Israel announced that it would retire at least two Patriot air defense systems that it purchased in the 1990s in the next 2 months. The nearly 40-year-old batteries have seen only limited service in 2014 and 2018. There have been no indications that Tel Aviv, which maintains a complex relationship with Moscow, would transfer the systems to Ukraine. The General Secretary of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, said that the delays in United States military aid and the failure of European nations to provide promised ammunition on time has damaged the credibility of the alliance. Quote, "Of course, the fact that we did not fulfill what we promised undermined trust. We need a more robust, standardized framework for our support to ensure predictability, to ensure more accountability, and to ensure burden sharing." Norway announced it would increase military aid to Ukraine by $600 million in 2024, with most of the funds earmarked to provide military aid. Latvia is providing Ukraine with another military aid package that will include a Mantis short-range anti-aircraft defense, drones, and other technical equipment to support air defense. And that's what we know. Your support of my home, Ukraine, helps us make history and protect the future for all.
You've been listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. To help keep us independent, please consider providing financial support by becoming a patron. Want on-demand news in your hand? Download the Google News app and make Malcontent News one of your favorites to receive breaking news updates. Thank you for listening.